This is Dylan.
This is Nick. And you're listening to
Colloquium, Colloquium.
So, Nick, are you doing anything for Advent?
Yeah, I'm probably going to try an Exodus-style Advent.
Exodus 24 or whatever?
Yeah, I'm...
25?
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to sign up for the program, but I'm just going to do my own, you know, sort of Exodus-style penance Advent for personal reasons.
The typical Exodus 90
yeah.
kind of penances.
Yeah.
Cold showers?
I hadn't made up my mind about that yet, but...
like limited technology.
Yeah, just the limited technology.
Fasting
yeah.
4 days a week.
Not sure if I'm going to do the fasting either. We'll see. I haven't thought it out yet,
hey,
apparently.
We're in Advent
yeah.
now.
yeah. I think probably what I'll do is just like do the technology fast and the eating 3 times a day and the regular exercise and prayer and the really hard stuff. I'm not sure I'm going to do yet.
Eating 3 times a day. That sounds like a real, real strict penance there.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh yeah. Well, it's just, you can't eat in between meals.
Yeah. It's like, I think Father Mike Schmitz has a joke when he talks about like the church's fasting requirements. He's like, yeah, people think it's so strict, but like, when you think about it, like the church asks for you to eat one big meal and 2 small meals that combined do not equal the big meal. So like, what I eat every day, like it's basically like you're slightly decreasing your food intake, and that's about all the church asks.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not
yeah.
a lot.
Not too difficult.
But no, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah. What about yourself?
We'll see. Just kidding. I actually, ironically enough, am giving up podcasts for Advent.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Dang.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see y'all after the new year.
Yeah, just kidding. No, I mean, it sounds like a joke, but I'm giving up, I should say, consuming podcasts for Lent. I will still produce this podcast as we were doing now.
Got it.
Sorry, not for Lent.
For Advent, yeah.
Father Joy did that.
He did that,
too.
Yeah.
He said Lent.
Understandable.
Same thing, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Same color.
Pretty much.
Slightly different. But yeah, no, so I'll be giving up consuming podcasts. I think I just like, I binge a lot of podcasts, and I think I just want to create some space and some time for listening. So if you're listening to this and you see me, you can ask if I've listened to any podcasts, and hopefully I'll answer no because I'm being good.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember this is kind of a memorable thing that Matt Frad said on his podcast, but remember he said once, like, hey, if you need to give up technology, like including this podcast, do it.
Yeah.
He like encouraged people to yeah. give up his podcast if they needed to. So anyway, if that's you, you're wanting yeah. to give up technology and podcasts for Advent, get rid
give
of
up
us.
Every podcast but this one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My bad.
No, but you can give this up too. That's fine. If it's for the Lord, do it. I don't know how many people are like addicted to our podcast.
Probably not. There's not enough episodes to be addicted to, man. I don't think.
You know what you shouldn't give up though?
What's that?
Spiritual fatherhood.
Nice segue. Really nice. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So our topic today, we're talking about spiritual fatherhood, which is defined as being a father, but spiritually.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a good Merriam-Webster definition right there.
What comes to mind? I didn't put you on the spot here. But what comes to mind when you think of spiritual fatherhood?
Oh, let's see. I simply think of someone who is not one's real father, but displays fatherly qualities yeah. towards that person.
Yeah. Which we'll get it. Well, I think we'll analyze what
that's
fatherly
right.
qualities are. Yeah, I think I said, you know, looking at the doc here, I said someone who exercises the virtues of a father to those who are not their biological children. So I think spiritual fatherhood can be somebody who's not a biological father, or someone who is, but he's acting fatherly towards people who are not his biological children.
Right. Yeah.
So something I think that's interesting about this is that, you know, spiritual fatherhood we maybe most commonly associate with priests, but a layman, a married man can also, I think, be a spiritual father. So you could be both a biological and a spiritual father as well if you're a layman and a father.
And you should be.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So yeah, I think it's, I think the pre, I do you, well, maybe this is kind of segue into our next question, but I think in a sense, it seems that priests are more so spiritual fathers. So is there a difference between the spiritual fatherhood of a priest and the spiritual fatherhood that you or I, or even a married man might experience?
Oh yeah, I definitely would think so. I mean, priests have the ability to be a spiritual father in different ways, I would say, to start off, than a lay person who's a spiritual father. The immediate thing I'm thinking of is the ability of a priest to administer the sacraments to his people, to his children, which is something obviously a layman cannot do. So
yeah,
that's the first thing I would say. And also, I think priests have a wider reach in terms of who they are called to father spiritually. You know, the lay person could potentially father people spiritually outside of his regular kids, biological kids, but he's just not able to expand his spiritual fatherhood well beyond that. So those are a couple things.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. You know, I think of your parish and the priest, the spiritual father can spiritually father the entire parish, right? You know, hundreds of people or more, right? But your average layman, right? You father your own children and maybe a handful of other, you know, maybe teachers and coaches have the opportunity to spiritually father more. But you're still dealing with, kind of magnitude, far fewer people because your primary vocation is spiritually fathering, you know, or biologically fathering and spiritually fathering your own family. So, yeah, I think also I like the connection to the sacraments with the priest. So I think there is a sense in which while you or I could be spiritual fathers without being a priest, there's a sense in which the priest is like a spiritual father to a greater degree clearly demonstrates spiritual fatherhood by providing the sacraments, right? Because if providing is part of the role of a father, then how can you better provide spiritually than providing sanctifying grace in the sacraments? That, I think, is at the heart of the spiritual fatherhood of a priest.
Yeah. Yeah, I like your phrase, to a greater degree. I think that's true. Particularly where this comes to light in my mind is in confession, where priests get to hear you know, the most intimate failings of their spiritual child, which you know, maybe that person's biological father might not ever hear. So in a certain sense, the priest as a spiritual father might get to know the child more intimately than their biological father, which is powerful.
Yeah, and just to think in confession, right? Like, confession is a sacrament of mercy. There's also an element of justice, right? You receive penance in the sacrament of confession. And I think that justice and mercy are something that I associate with fatherhood. You think of like God the Father as, you know, the epitome of fatherhood, right? And we say that his justice and mercy are like these, you know, they're essentially united divine attributes. God is perfectly just and perfectly merciful. And confession is a place, I think, where we experience the justice and mercy of God, but we experience that through that spiritual father, the priest.
Yep, agree.
So in talking about spiritual fatherhood, I think, one, we can be spiritually fathered, and we can also be spiritual fathers, at least if you're a man, you can be a spiritual father. I think what's got me thinking about this the most recently is actually the experience of being a spiritual father. But let's maybe start with experience of being spiritually fathered. What does that look like for you? How do you experience spiritual fatherhood?
Yeah. First of all, I think, I don't know what the age limit is that calls out the discrepancy between spiritual fatherhood and not, because it seems like when I've been spiritually fathered in the past, it has been someone significantly older than me.
Yeah.
Similar in age to my father, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with the exception of priests. I have had priests that have definitely spiritually fathered me that are much closer in age. So I think the title of being a priest makes them a spiritual father.
Right.
you know, regardless of age. So,
because I might see a priest who's our age, which is crazy to think about. Yeah, or a priest our age. Like we were talking the other day about a priest we know who's younger than us.
Yeah, and just heard my confession. For the first time ever, I had a confession with a priest that was younger than me.
So. Yeah, and like he might be a spiritual father. You know, it might be very natural to see him as a spiritual father, but you would never see me as your spiritual father. Like, no way. Granted, that's because there's a lack of virtue there, but. You know, you would never, I feel like you wouldn't be very likely to see a friend, even a spiritually wise, mature friend, your age or younger than you as a spiritual father.
Right. No, that's definitely true. You know, I want to kind of get into this a little bit later because, you know, I'm 10 years older, a little over 10 years older than some of the players that I coach in soccer, you know, but that's not that much older, even though I consider myself to be a sort of spiritual father to them. I use the phrase, you know, elder brother sometimes. Anyway, I want us to get into that a little bit, I think, about, you know, whether or not spiritual elder siblinghood or whatever is actually just a form of spiritual fatherhood.
Right.
But...
Yeah, I think there is an overlap. I mean, I think what elder siblings can do sometimes is exhibit characteristics of a father. You know, as someone with a brother who is 8 years older than me, you know, I can say there were definitely times, especially as a child, where, yeah, he was an older brother, but he was far enough ahead of me that there was definitely fatherly type things that he would do.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I don't know what that age difference has to be, and it probably changes with age, but I would say that even if you're maybe within the older brother age range of someone, you could still be a spiritual father.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually reminded of, have you seen the Disney movie Onward, the animated movie?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good one. And there are some things in there that aren't great.
But is it super recent or?
It's within the past 5-10 years. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I never saw it.
Yeah, but it's just basically one of the parts of the movie is this family, the father dies, and, you know, they have a home that doesn't have a father. So I won't go into the details of the movie. But one of the cruxes at the end of the film is that the main character has an older brother who's, you know, kind of always doing things that kind of make him an outcast, and he's seen as like kind of a weird guy, his older brother. But at the end, one of the cruxes is he, growing up, was sort of the replacement of the father that was gone for the younger brother. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was the idea is, oh, you know, I realize over time that my older brother was actually fulfilling the role of the father who wasn't there. So
yeah.
Now, it's not meant to say that, you know, we don't need fathers as long as you have an older brother.
Yeah.
But that goes to show that an older brother figure, an older sibling figure could be a spiritual mentor, a spiritual mother, spiritual father for a younger sibling. So
yeah, what about uncles? Could you be like a spiritual uncle?
Okay. Probably so, yeah.
Where you're just fun. Like you don't actually like provide much like practical guidance. You just
probably
I'm a fun spiritual uncle. That's what I
that
am.
Sounds pretty good actually. Yeah. The spiritual fun uncle.
Yeah. I like that
one. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Anyway, being fathered spiritually. Yeah, so another way that I think I have obviously been fathered spiritually that we've talked about already is through adult figures that are around my actual father's age that weren't actually my father that have been an example for me.
Bishop Barron or?
Yeah. That's a different example. Okay. But I'm talking about people in my life
actually
that I look to as a spiritual father that I look up to. Yeah.
Would you say that you, of the spiritual fathers that you've had in your life, would you say that they're more often laymen or priests?
I mean, I have both. I don't know that I would. I would say there are probably more priests that function as spiritual fathers in my life. But that's not because I know more priests than I do fatherly laymen. It's just because every priest I see, I think of as a spiritual father for the most part. You know.
Yeah, I think it's something really profound for me when I encounter it in priests, because like priests kind of have the default, like default you see them as a spiritual father, right? But then when I see them acting fatherly, it just like it hits me mm-hmm. really powerfully. Whether it's towards me or towards others, like I think I see this in Father Joy, our pastor, and just the way he ministers to people and encourages them, but also is, you know, will tell you, hey, you need to pray, you need to go do this, etc. Right? And that's always just like a really profound mm-hmm. thing when I see a priest who is a spiritual father, kind of in his very nature sacramentally, but then I actually see him exercising that.
He understands it.
Always strikes me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like living out of that.
Yeah, he understands and lives out of it. Yep. Uh-huh.
Just like a biological father, right? He's always a father, yeah. whether he's living the virtues of fatherhood or not. But when you see him living out virtuous fatherhood, it mm-hmm. also is a beautiful thing, and it kind of impacts you very in a profound way.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, that's something that I really desire. I think we all desire, honestly, is to have fathers who lead us spiritually. Some people who can guide us in that sense. And I have become aware, and thank God I have, you know, a couple of these people in my life, but I have become aware of, honestly, a seeming lack of laymen who are spiritual fathers to their, non-biological children, you know, it seems mm-hmm. like that is lacking. And granted, I haven't gone searching diligently in every pew mm-hmm. of every church for these fathers.
Will you be my father?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it seems like there is an absence there.
Yeah,
that a role that needs to be filled in the church.
Well, I think it's worth saying too that because you might think, oh, well, if you have a good biological father, and they're spiritual, they could be spiritually father you, right? But I think, I heard somewhere recently that kind of in the realm of like it takes a village to raise a child thing phrase, I think in a sense it takes multiple spiritual fathers, right? You can't
Amen.
Like yeah. yes, you can have the best father in the world, but you need other spiritual fathers. We are so dependent on others, and we need to receive grace through others. And I think that we need an array of spiritual fathers in our life, not just our biological dad and maybe our pastor. And I think that's what kind of you're getting at
yeah.
is, sometimes maybe it seems like you have one or two, maybe if you're, and to be fair, like if you have a great spiritual father in your own dad, like that's something a lot of people don't have.
Yeah.
Right. And you can be grateful for that. If you have even one spiritual father figure in your life, something to be incredibly grateful for. A lot of people don't have even one,
mm-hmm.
right? But there is a need for, I think, an array of spiritual fathers at the same time. And I think I agree there is a lack at times.
Yeah, that image is attractive, isn't it? Of raising a family in the context of a community of multiple mm-hmm. families. Therefore, you have multiple spiritual father figures that you're just kind of growing up around, and you can learn from and mm-hmm. Go to if, for some reason your biological dad is, not someone you feel comfortable going to, so
right.
That seems really attractive and healthy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, I know do you still do that like Friday morning mm-hmm. coffee? Is like, and it's a group of
yeah.
people varying ages, right?
Oh, fathers. I'm the youngest by 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next old, so I'm almost 30, 29. And then the next youngest, there's two who are 40. And then the next youngest they're like in their high 50s. So yeah. I'm very much the youngest, and they're very much father figures in that community.
Right.
So,
and that's such a beautiful thing.
It is.
Like get to hear their perspective on a regular basis.
Oh, I look forward to going, and I love being a part of that sort of dynamic. It's not something that I would get, otherwise. So.
Right. Well, and that's something I know we've talked about like young adult ministry before too. Like, and I think sometimes what's missing in ministries is that mentorship. Right, is mm-hmm. like actually we need to interact. We don't just need to get all young adults or all college students in a circle together and have them interact. They need to interact with people in different generations to get that different perspective and to be fathered and to be mothered by older people.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really great thing. Yeah, I think for me, it's, again, I think maybe more so through priests as I've experienced spiritual fatherhood. And again, I think it's just, it's more, often more clearly demonstrated. And I think that a lot of times, yeah, maybe there is just a lack of lay spiritual fathers. You know, there's already, people say there's a fatherhood crisis to begin with, right? And if fathers aren't already stepping up and spiritually fathering their own families, how much less likely are they to do that for, you know, the other neighborhood kids or whoever it may be.
Right. Yeah.
So let's talk about being spiritual fathers, because one thing I think what brought this topic to mind for me recently is as I get older and as I get further along into teaching and you know, being in charge of teenagers, right? I've kind of felt a greater and greater sense of something that seems like spiritual fatherhood. A feeling of responsibility for these kids, a feeling of being in charge. It's just like little moments, like when they come to you, whether it's asking permission for something or whatever. It's like sometimes I just sit back. It's like, huh, like I am in the position of a spiritual father in a lot of ways. So I'm curious what that experience, if you've experienced that. I know you mentioned the term elder brother. Have you thought of it in terms of fatherhood as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I experienced this similarly to you in my coaching experience. And the only reason I use the term, quote, elder brother, I use that a lot of times, is because I'm just not really old enough to actually be their dad.
Yeah.
But what right. it is spiritual fatherhood. So okay. I think it is under the category of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know as a coach, I have felt this so strongly, you know, just feeling a degree of responsibility for the players. For the girls that I coach, and yeah, just being with them in all the highs and lows and in-betweens of a soccer season, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things is not maybe that important, but it does give a sense of kind of the microcosm of life, if you will, these seasons that I get to walk with them in. So, you know, just getting to be there when they're, you know, crying over something that happened during the game, or when they're hurt, or when they're happy about something, or where they're, you know, not pushing themselves, I need to call them higher. So all these, you know, all these things and opportunities to help them and to help them grow in virtue and holiness and development as a soccer player is just, it's such a spiritual fatherhood sort of job. I love it. Gotten a taste of what it is to actually be a father.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's so interesting to me because it's kind of something I feel like I've stumbled into, right? It's like, you know, neither of us are priests. Neither of us, you're not a biological father, right?
Nope.
So, okay, just making sure. I was just thinking about that as we came here. I was like, I've never asked Nick this question. I know he's not a biological father, but like, I don't know if I've ever asked him that question verbatim.
No.
Anyway, weird concept. But nor am I a biological father. But it just feels like something like this spiritual fatherhood that I've just kind of stumbled into, you know, like not being a priest, like I've never like, you know, prayed about that as my vocation or anything of spiritual fatherhood, but I've just found myself in more and more situations. And the characteristic thing for me is that feeling of responsibility for someone, particularly someone younger, right? Whether it's, you know, on a field trip with students or in the classroom when they come to you, or feeling responsibility in general, and then also for their spiritual well-being. And it's just dawned on me recently that that's the case. But I think that feeling of responsibility seems to me to be characteristic of what spiritual fatherhood is it's you are taking responsibility for someone else's spiritual well-being. Not all the responsibility, but the responsibility of a father.
That's very John Paul II like, isn't it? Just the love and responsibility theme.
Yeah, there is no love without responsibility.
Right, yeah, the more love one has for someone, the greater degree of responsibility that you feel towards that person. Yeah, so that seems very in line with that teaching. Yeah, I agree, yeah. And honestly, too, just being a spiritual father to these kids, it's kind of opened my eyes, because it's not hard per se to go over the top to try and help them. You know, it mm-hmm. just comes naturally in the form of mm-hmm. of being a father of, like, that's what I desire to do, is to go out of my way to help and to be that for them. You know, right. It's not a drag whatsoever. It's, you know, just I'm stepping into what I was made to do as a man.
Right. Well, and that's a really good point, because you think of, like, you think of a father or a mother. How many fathers and mothers would tell you, biologically, fathers and mothers would tell you, oh, yeah, it's not hard. Like, I don't think twice about, feeding my kids is the example I come. But you know what I mean? Like, of course they would go the extra mile. Like, they would do anything for their kids, right? Uh-huh. But, like, you wouldn't just do anything for a stranger.
Right.
But spiritual fatherhood is maybe that point in which it's, of course I would go the extra mile for, mm-hmm. for this spiritual child, for this person that I'm in charge of. That, I think that's a really, really good way of putting it as well. So what about, I also, something that comes to mind is the connection between spiritual fatherhood and masculinity. I know we want to talk about qualities of a spiritual father. And one thing that comes to mind, because we've had really good conversations about masculinity, and one of the puzzles about masculinity and femininity, motherhood, fatherhood, is that there isn't just like a list of virtues that I can draw up and say, oh, if you have these five things, you are masculine or you are feminine. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing with fatherhood. Like, there's not a list of five virtues that make you a good father, but you know it when you see it. Mm-hmm. Just like when you know someone's like, oh, that's virtuous masculinity when you see it. And you might be able to point to some virtues that they're exemplifying. I think it's the same thing with fatherhood, right? It's not, oh, if you do this, you are a good father or you are a good spiritual father. But when you see that in a person, you recognize it. You say, oh, that's, I know that this happens to me, you know, when I encounter spiritual fatherhood and priests, I'm like, that's fatherhood. You know it when you see it. So I don't know. Do you think that's the case with spiritual fatherhood?
Oh, that's a hard one. This is a really hard and complex topic, I think.
As is masculinity.
Yeah, that's right. I think
for similar reasons.
Yeah. I think ingrained into what it means to be a man is to father. You know, that's what a man mm-hmm. does, and what a man mm-hmm. is, who a man is for, or what a man is for is to father. And that's ingrained into every man's vocation, every single man. But yeah, I mean, gosh, it's so hard. Maybe I'll speak into, you know, some qualities that I see in, men who are playing the role of father, because I mean, to say, you know, it, when you see it, it still begs the question of what, you know, can we just give it a few different characteristics to go off of, you know? And I agree, by the way, I agree that, you know it when you see it. Maybe I'll say too, that speaks to the fact that it's unique to every man.
Yes.
You know? Being a father looks different in every single man.
Yeah.
Having said that, a couple characteristics. One that comes to mind is protection, you know, being a protector. Whatever that may be, and that doesn't necessarily mean knowing Taekwondo as a man. You know, I think that could mean being a protector of your children's virtue, whatever that is, of their purity. You know, just being a protector of that in that sense. You know, that'd be one thing I would say. Any others you can think of off the top of your head while I'm thinking?
I think being present. You know, like the aspect of a good father in general is that they're there, they're present, and they're there for you when you need them. So I think of, like, you know, one experience of where I've experienced spiritual fatherhood is when I've seen students of mine get confirmed, or seen them receive, I've gotten to see them receive first communion. And that's, like, always a profound, it's like, I am there for this important moment in their spiritual development. So I think being present, yeah, absolutely. I think all the qualities of a biological father, right? We talked about justice and mercy, protecting, providing. Again, why I think priests demonstrate this so clearly is because they are the providers of mm-hmm. the sacrament. Feeling of responsibility for others, absolutely. Being an example.
Yeah.
I think is a big one. And so often, I think one of the things that makes spiritual fatherhood something that particularly if you're in roles like ours, being a coach and a teacher, you're just kind of by default there as an example. And it's why it matters what you do and how you carry yourself so much, because they're going to be looking up to you. And sometimes even more when you're in maybe the elder brother age range, right? And you're not old enough to be a biological father. Because mm-hmm. they see themselves as, and you and I both know this, right? Like, they look at us in our late 20s different than they look at a coach or a teacher who's 50, who's 60, right? Not that there aren't elements of spiritual fatherhood in both, but they see us as more someone they can be in the near future.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a difference as well. But we're kind of there naturally as an example. And that's one of the beautiful things about teaching and coaching, is it's just, it's there. The responsibility is given to you. It's like being a father, mm-hmm. right? Whether you like it or not, you are responsible for these children. And you better do your best, because they're watching.
Yeah.
And they need you.
Yeah, good point. One thing that I always appreciate, I think, or I think is attractive in a father, is being willing to, I'll say, apologize, or being willing to admit brokenness, I think, is really powerful. There's the cliche of also, too, of like seeing a man cry is always really moving. But I think just like being honest and being willing to admit their own brokenness is something that I think I really admire. I think I really appreciate, you know, those stories of healing or whatever from men.
And I think just like in, you know, so much of this conversation brings me back to masculinity, right? What's broken in masculinity is broken in fatherhood. And so when I think of, you know, that's the same, that problem you say is like, okay, if fathers aren't vulnerable, if they aren't, they don't show weakness, if they aren't willing to apologize, right? Recognize when they mess up, and be open about that. I think we see the same things in masculinity, right? There's the kind of toxic masculinity where you don't show emotion, you are not vulnerable. I think it's one and the same. And I think that's an important thing too, is that when we talk about the absence of fatherhood, we're confused about masculinity and femininity as well. But I think that the conversation about fatherhood and a conversation about motherhood, which could be a separate conversation, is at the heart of it, right? If we don't know what it means to be a father, then we don't know what it means to be a man. And I think you've alluded to that a couple times in this conversation.
Yeah, agree.
Any other qualities?
I think maybe the last thing I would say would be service. Just a father is someone who goes out of their way to provide tangible forms of service. You know, being aware of when the door needs to be held open, or being aware when someone's plate is empty and they need to take it to the garbage. You know, just very simple things, and just an awareness of how they can serve, I think, is really attractive as a father.
Yeah. I think St. Joseph, like, is the, and we kind of talked about this, I don't know if this will make it on the actual recorded podcast part, where we're talking about it as we were starting. St. Joseph is literally, he was not biologically a father, but he was Jesus's spiritual father.
Right.
So he's the example in so many ways. And I think what we see from him is he's present. He's leading. He's, you know, it says he's a just man in scripture. So I think St. Joseph is certainly a model of spiritual fatherhood.
I'm also reminded me of that, Saint Joseph, about, you know, he's kind of known for just quietly doing his duty as a spiritual father. And I was reading Great Expectations by Charles Dickens, you know, several months ago, and one of the Pip, the main character's father figure, Joe, Charles Dickens says something to the effect about Joe in the book, about how, you know, you can't measure how far of an influence a man who's doing his duty on a daily basis can go. You know, I think it's just really powerful just how he said that. Like, you know, just a man who does his duty day after day diligently can have a broad influence that we'll just never know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we'll just never know until the next life. But it's as simple as that.
So what do you think about that with regard to spiritual fatherhood? Do you think a spiritual father you know, is you have the St. Joseph example of the quiet leader type thing, but then I also think of examples who are like vocal, you know, and calling people out and very high expectations, and that's a form of spiritual fatherhood too. Do you think that those are just both different ways of being a spiritual father?
I think so. Yeah, I guess what I meant by like being a quiet leader is, you know, being a leader that may or may not be remembered by history. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I meant. Now the father can take various characteristics, you know, you know, vocal leadership, quiet service, whatever. But I think those are both aspects of what it means to be a great father. Might be stronger in one father and weaker in the other. It's fine.
Right. You know? Well, and I think one of the things, I think that's an important thing to establish, because I think one of the issues sometimes that leads to greater confusion about masculinity and fatherhood is thinking that it has to be one way. And like if you're trying to be, if you're the more the quiet leader type personality, that's the temperament God gave you, and you're trying to be the in your face, bold, courageous, you know, father all the time, like courage obviously is a virtue for everyone, but you're trying to be someone that you're not, you're trying to live out of gifts that just aren't what the Lord has blessed you with, then I think that you can, that can be a dangerous thing at times, right?
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, if you are the quiet leader, living out of that, and I think that's one thing, that learning to live out of those gifts that I've been given, and not trying to be someone else, not trying to be the spiritual father that someone else can be, because again, it is going to look different in every man. Just like masculinity, there's not one way of living out masculinity. But that doesn't mean masculinity isn't a virtue or isn't something to strive for. It just will look different depending on the gifts that God's given you. And that's important to recognize as well. And that's why we have an array of fathers in scripture. We have an array of fathers in our life that all look differently. And an array of just different examples of masculinity, because hopefully there's one you can find or a few that you can find to aspire to different qualities that they have.
Yeah. It's different parts, different members of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Beautiful. I guess the last thing I want to mention, and then if there's any kind of closing thoughts or questions you have, I would love for you to share. I had this at the beginning, but the Eastern churches call basically their priests, any spiritual director, they call them their spiritual father. And so the way they look at this is like the pastor of your parish is your spiritual father. And they literally would say, my spiritual father. They'll refer to them like that. And I remember having a friend who's Greek Orthodox in college, and she would refer to her spiritual father. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. It's like, how do you get one of those? I want one of those. What's that? But I just thought it was so beautiful. It's just kind of ingrained into their parish culture that that's their role, spiritual father.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And to take that a step further on spiritual motherhood, this is one thing I think we're missing in our Western tradition, is religious sisters are all called mother in the Eastern Orthodox and the Eastern
Catholic. Oh, really? Church. All sisters?
Yeah, all sisters are called mother.
Beautiful.
Which I think makes so much sense, because they're spiritual mothers, right? Just like all priests are spiritual fathers, they're all spiritual mothers.
Yeah, beautiful.
Which I just think goes to show that we're all, again, men are called to be spiritual fathers, women are called to be spiritual mothers. Whether you're a biological mother or father, whether you're ordained as a priest to be a spiritual father, or consecrated as a religious sister to be a spiritual mother, or not, we still need to find that spiritual fatherhood. And I think that's one thing that, you know, you and I, it's interesting that we're talking about this spiritual fatherhood, like, because neither of us are either biological fathers or priests. And yet this is something that I think has brought a lot of meaning and purpose to our lives, the ability to be spiritual fathers.
Amen. Yeah, I think without the opportunity to be a spiritual father, my life would be significantly less meaningful. And I would go so far as to say almost without meaning. You know, just being being able to be a spiritual father is everything for who I am and who I desire to be.
Yeah. And I know it's important for all those that you've spiritually fathered over the years.
Hopefully so.
Hopefully. All right. Anything else?
Nah.
All right, we'll wrap this baby up. It'll be one of our shorter episodes here. So you can maybe actually listen to this. Don't give up podcasts. Don't worry. We got shorter. You don't have to listen to 6 hours of it. But maybe we'll get another Advent one out. This will at least be our Advent episode, and we'll get another one out maybe around Christmas time sometime.
Sounds good.
All right. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.